And welcome to Between the Margins on CHRW 94.9 FM. This is a show about human rights and people's pursuit of happily ever after. My name's Michelle Boyce, and I'm hosting the show today. And DJ and Kim are in the booth, and I have some amazing people here with me today. And we're going to talk about out in the office. And did you guys want to introduce yourselves?
My name is Anne-Marie Fisher. I'm the Community Service Learning Coordinator at the University of Western Ontario.
My name is Rick Ezekiel, and I'm the coordinator of student engagement programs here at Western.
And I'm Leslie Gloria Duncan, the team coordinator for leadership transition and scholars programs here at Western.
Wonderful. And we're talking about out in the office. And just to get us off and going, we've got Jordan introducing the show. He's Pride Western coordinator here. And no, you don't have clips? Okay. Okay, and the clips aren't loaded. So, out in the office, guys, you've got an event coming up, and you've got the start of that tonight. And can you tell me a little bit about your event tonight and what's happening with it?
Well, the event tonight is a combined event, so we're going to be hosting a panel that includes six different individuals who are professionals who are out in their career. So we tried to get representatives of several different fields. We have a medical representative, Martin Wittenshaw from Pride London. We have someone who's a paralegal, a professor, someone from the financial sector, as well as a nonprofit. And this event is to be followed by a networking event where Western students will have the opportunity to mingle with several different professionals from the London community. So it's a great event to kick off Career Week and a great event to talk about the value of being one's authentic self in the workplace.
Wonderful. And where is this happening?
This is going to be happening at the David Chu International Student Center, which is in Western Student Services Building, room 2130, starting at 4:30 p.m.
Awesome, and I'm expecting a big crowd there, so everybody get down to that and listen to these, because, I mean, I know many of these people, and they've got some interesting stories, and we've got a couple of them today for you. If you guys could just tell the audience a little bit about, because it's not just one event that you're going to have, right? We're going to have three or four different events that are focusing on a couple of different things. So let's get the Pride at Work stuff out of the way, and then we'll talk more about the topic of being out at work.
So the Out in the Office is in its second year this year. We're going to be holding several events over the semester. Today is going to kick off the events with our professionals panel and our networking event. Following that, on March 23rd, we're having Sean Prue come to speak to our group and give him a really exciting message about just having fun and being who you are. Following that, we're going to be looking to doing some staff training on working with the LGBT people in the university and learning a little bit about that population. And then following that, we're going to be doing an event for graduate students and postdoctoral scholars here, and that will be happening in the intercession term. And I'm just going to turn it over to my colleague Leslie to talk a little bit about our high school outreach event.
So on March 7th, we're also doing a transition conference for high school students, and we've connected in with the GSA associations at many of the local high schools, and we'll be welcoming a group of high school students to come to Western to attend some sessions. So we're going to be doing some information around being out in residence and the whole residence life experience, as well as a panel for talking about support services that are available to students while they're here, and then a fun afternoon with Western's Amazing Race. So we'll get the students up and moving and going through the campus and actually learning more about what's it like to be a student here at Western, and ending off with a great sort of hangout and social time and networking with the people in the support services area in the UCC. So we're really excited about that event and welcoming some high school students here on campus.
That's wonderful that we can bring in those high school students and get them, you know, getting used to the campus here and figuring out, you know, where Pride Western is and all of the services that they'll be able to take part of here at Western. So we have that intro clip for you now.
Out in the Office provides students in the LGBT community an opportunity.
So you're here at the GSA conference. Tell me your name. Play BTM1.
Out in the Office provides students in the LGBT community an opportunity to see professionals in various career fields and how they have progressed in their careers and what kind of experiences they've encountered.
People don't realize they can be vicious. There's just so much that individuals can take. And I think Ron was right on the borderline of a breakdown.
Almost every bathroom wall had my name on it. There was a bullseye at work that was posted saying such and such amount of money of reward for the assassination of Ron Woods with a bullseye on it.
I think it's a good idea. If you're homosexual, they should bury you. And the union should just turn their back on you.
Hey, this is my shot to work in the largest government bond trading firm in the world. I mean, quite frankly, it's like a dream come true. You can see maybe one gay joke, two gay jokes. I have evidence of probably 50. They had my car professionally repainted as a police cruiser. And there must be 15 gay slurs on there, anti-gay jibes, like poo stabber, pole smoker.
To have someone like power position and authority position holding out this carrot of like, you can make $1 million a year, but you're going to have to put up with my crap.
A lot of people would have gone back in there with a machine gun the next day and blown everybody away.
We went to our first protest. We had Mother's Day.
Happy Mother's Day to you. Happy Mother's Day to you.
Car gays and lesbians back now. Change your policy.
After I became known as gay in 1991, my life became a living hell due to extreme harassment and discrimination. I asked that my union do the right thing by steadfastly demanding that such discrimination be forbidden contractually. We must protect all of our members. Thank you very much.
Thank you, brother.
I am more aware of discrimination now. Being a white male, you know, from this type of area, you know, you don't even have a clue that homosexuals, disabled people, and women, and people of color are discriminated against. This has never happened to you.
And we're back. So, I mean, we have mixed feelings about being out at work, because, you know, there's pros to it and there's cons to it. Right. And, you know, some of the pros are pretty great. You know, you don't have to spend your life hiding. You don't have to spend your life making up stories. I always use the thing that, you know, two guys, they've been living together since the beginning of time. They're married, you know, and but they're not out at work. So, you know, they go into work and they've just came back from a Caribbean cruise and, you know, a lover's getaway. And, you know, when they get back to work, it's like, yeah, buddy of mine and I, we went down to the Caribbean to pick up checks. You know, it's a total fabrication and it's a total lie. And, you know, it takes up so many resources when you're trying to function within that environment, you know. And but the pros are that, you know, you can be truthful and honest, and we've got a couple of clips later on with a couple of your panelists that are going to be on tonight and talking about some of the positives that they've experienced in being out in the office, etc. So you've got something else to talk about? how this whole out in the office thing started and what we and why we're doing it, because this is the second annual that we're doing?
It is a second annual, and it kind of arose last year when our director of the Student Success Center here on campus asked our team what the Student Success Center could do to make our center more LGBT-friendly. I kind of took a hold of this idea and brought it a couple steps further and enlisted some colleagues and some students from Pride Western and got them in on the program. And we really sat and brainstormed and said what kind of issues are important to LGBT students or those who are going into the professional workforce. And really, the message that we came up with was authenticity. So last year we threw a one-day conference for LGBT students, not only in Western, but the whole London community and professionals. Went over very well. We got an excellent response, and a lot of people are very gracious to us for throwing this kind of programming for the specific population. So we just went off the momentum of last year and decided to do it again, but space it throughout the academic year so that anybody could really have the opportunity to participate in something. So.
Great. And last year you had KPMG speaking. Was that the event?
Yes, we did. We had Michael Bach, who's the Director of Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion at KPMG, and he kind of talked about what you just talked about the loss of productivity that happens when you try to hide who your authentic self is. This is very interesting.
And CHRW covered that. Forget which show of BTM that you can go back in the blogs and listen to that interview, but it's up there somewhere. Lots of LGBT shows on there. So this year, have you confirmed your guest speaker for later on in March?
Yeah, so that's Sean Prue. I think he's kind of it as far as it goes for gay men's media, and he's pretty big, has interviewed a ton of really influential people in our culture, and he's very excited, and we're very excited to have him. So that's going to be happening March 23rd, it's a Friday, and he's got a lot to say, and I think people will like hearing what he has to say.
Oh, I can't wait to hear him speak. So lots of great things, and expanding it is an awesome idea to get more students and more people to be able to come out to more of the events. Every single time I go to an event at Western, there's 15 other ones that I got to pick and choose which one I'm going to go to at that particular moment. And it's easier when I'm not on stage. But so we're going to listen to the This Is Me. And this is a girl who came out at Best Buy. And it's BTM2. And we don't have a BTM2. Okay, let's talk to Martin Winston, BTM3.
My name is Martin Withenshaw. I work for the Alga Middlesex Oxford Workforce Planning and Development Board. As the Communications Projects Manager, I am also the president of Pride London Festival.
So this show is about being out in the office, and I'm assuming you're out?
I am out. I have been out since 1974, and I'm not going back yet. I live my life who I am, and no matter any job that I've had, they've always known that who I am and my sexual preference, so they know that I'm out.
You're successful as an out individual.
I would say I'm very successful as being for being out.
So what advice can you give others that that are out and possibly struggling with the construct?
Quite often, I was actually at an event this week with a lot of my peers, and I was actually having conversations with them. They're asking what I was up to, what I was doing, what was new, and I shared with them that I was the new president for Pride London. They all congratulated me. They were all very excited for me. So even within my professional life, and I mean, I'm talking head honchos with the city, with different large companies, and they're all very aware of who I am and what I do.
Great. And what's the reason for your success?
I think just being who I am. I mean, being yourself. And I am who I am.
in the immortal words of Popeye.
Yeah, I grew up with him.
Yeah, he's my hero too. So there has to have been some challenges and struggles along the way.
Well, I mean, some of the struggles are, I mean, one time, and this would go back to 1975, I was living in and working in Chatham, Ontario. I was out. I got along fine with everyone in the office. One of the husbands of one of the wives found out that I was gay, and he forbid his wife to have anything to do with me.
Yeah, you run into that scenario a lot of the times.
Right.
I know when I do workplace trainings around this, that's probably the number one issue that comes up is pressure from home.
Right.
And what about way back at the beginning, back in...
I always like to share this story. Recently, I was watching the history of gay rights in Ontario on TV, I actually was watching a march that happened in 1974 that I was part of. So it was actually very exciting to see that things that I've been part of have also made history, which was very exciting. So I've been who I am from the very beginning. At one point in time, if I wasn't comfortable in certain places, I went and I worked in places where I was comfortable. If people did not make me feel comfortable, I would not pressure them. I would just move on and find a job where I was comfortable.
So basically, if you're not enjoying your job and it's not a comfortable place, then go find something that is.
You know, that would be something that I would. I mean, it's like any job. If you're not happy where you are, move on. There's no point in. I mean, whether you're gay or straight, it doesn't matter. Whether you're Muslim, whether you're, I mean, it doesn't matter what your background is. If you aren't happy in your job, move on and find a job where you are happy. And they accept you for who you are. Because basically it is all about your skills, not who you are.
And we're back. And, I mean, Martin, he's had a pretty easy life of it when I was talking to him. And he started out his workforce in working with, for gay owners and within gay communities. So, and then he progressed beyond that into his current workplace, etc. So, you know, he said he really didn't have a lot of trouble, which is great, right? And we're finally getting to the point where more and more people are having these happily ever afters when they come out at work. And I think, you know, shows like this and events like Out in the Office are, you know, breaking down those barriers, and I think those are what are helping. What do you guys think of this, you know, the family pressure thing? And, you know, you've got, you know, you're not going to some guy telling his wife you're not going to work with that lesbian, and you're not going to use the washroom with her, and that's just not going to happen. And, you know, and then that puts them at problems, right? Mm-hmm. And that happens so often when we go there and we come out. It's not so much always our coworkers that are the problem. Mm-hmm. It's the rest of the people.
I think in a lot of ways, too, we as Western or as an office that provides support to students and also to community members on campus, it's hard to have an impact on what happens at home for a lot of people. We also get that issue when we're talking about high school outreach events. There are different levels of parental support for children even or kids attending these kinds of events. But what we hope to do is build a bit of a community where people can identify where the resources are and where the support lies. Despite maybe not having that supportive environment coming from home or having other people not experiencing that. So a lot of what our events are about is, you know, having community building events where people recognize that the community isn't just the LGBT community. There are supporters who are gay, straight, of any kind of background who are interested in, you know, sharing skills and getting to know each other and interacting with each other in these kinds of settings at these different types of events.
Which is so important because, I mean, those family members don't know how big of a dilemma they're creating for the individual, whether it's a student or whether it's a, you know, an employee or whoever. I mean, when they tell someone, I know when I came out, one of the kids in school, their parents said, well, just don't talk to her kids. You know, and that puts the kids in a huge dilemma because somehow they've got to, you know, facilitate that on the ground in the playground. Mm-hmm. And or in the office. And, I mean, you can't just, when you find out somebody is gay, straight, or you find out their religion, you find out that they're trans, when you find out this information, you can't just all of a sudden stop talking to them. That's a violation of the Human Rights Code in itself. So when people do this to their loved ones, it really, really puts them in a difficult position where they have to go and break the law. Mm-hmm. If they want to comply. And I can't see that as a great thing to do to somebody that you care about. So let's listen to this Best Buy clip and listen to her story about coming out at Best Buy, BTM2.
Me.
This is what it's like
to be me.
This is what it's like to be me.
So
So I'm going to talk about coming out at work because I actually decided to go through that recently, which was super fun. Actually, it wasn't as bad as I anticipated it would be. I've never had to do that before. I was not out at my old work, and I decided that when I moved, I was just going to go for it. How I decided to go about it when I first moved here was I was going to drop hints, and lots of hints, to my new coworkers. I work at Best Buy. I sell cell phones. And my little department is basically like a giant dudes club. It's me and like all guys. I mean, I get along with them all great, but I just didn't know how they would feel about the fact that I'm gay. So, you know, they're guys, so every time a hot chick walks through the door, they all sit around and are like, oh, look at that girl, you know, start making comments. And they weren't used to having a girl around, so they would start talking about chicks and then look over at me and be like, oh, sorry, we don't want to offend you or anything. At one point, we had a girl that needed help in our department, and one of the guys was like, well, we should have you help her because we're not going to be able to help her. We're just going to sit there and stare at her the whole time. And so I said something to the effect of, well, how do you know I wouldn't sit there and stare at her? Just because they assumed that, you know, well, I'm a girl, so, you know, I wouldn't look at her. And so I just thought it was funny. I would drop hints like that all the time, like, well, how do you know I wouldn't? How do you know I wouldn't check out this girl? And they would be like, oh, well, that's cool, you know. So they never acted like it was a big deal. I would joke about it, and they acted fine. So I would just kind of drop these little hints just to see how they would react. And they never acted like it was a big deal. So I just wanted to kind of feel out the situation and see how they were about it. So we had this work party. Something came up about people were like telling secrets, and so there was like this opportunity, this moment where I was like, I can either say it right now or I can just keep it in forever. And I didn't want them to not know, because then we're going through the whole like, so do you have a boyfriend? And then I have to do the whole, no, I don't have a boyfriend. But then that gives off the impression that you're single, and then that gives them free reign to hit on you, and that's not okay either. So I just threw it out there. I was like, guys, I have a girlfriend. And then they all looked at me and they're like, sweet. And that was about it. They asked me some questions. They were kind of like, so do you like girls only, or you go both ways? Or, and that was about the end of it. Like, there's totally cool with it, and I've never experienced that before because I've never been out at work. And you know, some other people at work have figured it out, and I don't come out and really say it to anyone else. I told those guys just because I work pretty closely with them. Other than that, I've had a few managers and things like that figure it out because my girlfriend has come to visit me at work, and she's pretty gay. she just gave me a look. I'm gonna be in trouble now. I tease her all the time and say that she's my gay accessory because I'm not real gay looking. But I think I had a manager that figured out I was gay because she came in and messed me at work. I think that outed me more than anything. This is the thing about if you want to decide if you want to come out at work or not. It's really, I don't think it's a big deal because it really has nothing to do with your performance at work. It has nothing to do with if you're a good employee or not. If you want to tell people, that's totally your prerogative. And I felt like when I moved here to this new town, like I just wanted it to be a fresh start. I wanted to be who I was, and I didn't want to hide this part of me anymore. I figured why not be myself, and this is part of who I am. So, I don't know, when coming out at work, just kind of gauge the situation. I decided to drop hints and kind of feel it out first for a little while before I just came out and was like, hey guys, guess what? I have a girlfriend, so, you know, if you don't want to do it, don't. Like, there's really no need to. It's work. Like, work and personal life are two separate things.
So that is the drop the hint one, right? And I like that way of, I mean, in sales we have a concept called pre-close. right? So if you're selling somebody a washing machine and you don't know if they're sold yet, you can say, oh, so how's that going to look in your laundry room? You know, and they're like, oh, yeah, I can really see that. Or, you know, it's just not fitting. And, you know, in that way, you're not just, did you want to buy it? And then you've got a yes or no answer.
Yeah.
So it's in sales, it's called pre-closing. And in coming out, it's called dropping the hints. But it's really a common way of, you know, feeling out your coworkers. And quite frankly, it doesn't stop because, you know, that. I have a friend of mine who was just telling me a story about how she's out lesbian at her office, and all the girls were Googling over the guy at repairing the photocopier. And apparently he was smoking hot. And one of the girls turned to Monica and said, oh, yeah, no, you probably don't notice that. So, you know, it goes both ways. It's not just the guys Googling the girls. Let's not be sexist here at Between the Margins. We all do it. So that's probably the best way. I mean, I've been doing this work for a long time, and while that clip was going, we were also having a sidebar conversation about, you know, different types of employers and different types of environments. We're seeing different responses to people coming out. And you know, dropping hints is a good way to gauge your particular workplace and feel it out. I mean, most of the unions now are really good at protecting their employees when it comes to sexual orientation. Most of the unions are good at protecting when it comes to gender identity and trans people. Still some work to do there. Governments seem to be pretty good. Government jobs, people are pretty good about people coming out and that kind of thing. But you know, you get down into auto workers and the auto plants and manufacturing companies, and quite frankly, some of those floors you walk into and it's just like walking into a high school. The same games are happening, the same pranks, the same games. I mean, I had one workplace where they had the whole cleaning staff line up, and so that when the person came in, they each individually pointed at them and laughed as they went past them. You know, so you know, some of the stuff still occurs at a pretty derogatory level, and you know, that was a plant right here in London. So you know, we're getting there.
Well, and I think by offering events and programming like what we've started to do, and not only starting at the university level, but even prior to university with high school age, I think the more larger organizations start to promote and talk about this, the more that can then go into the community. Because, I mean, there's been community organizations going on for a long time, but we need to have bigger groups speaking up for these rights, and I think it's really important. And what is really cool, Rick and I both attended a GSA meeting at Central Secondary School just before in December, and it was really, really neat to see that in the high schools, the GSA movement has really exploded in a lot of ways. They have a really active group there and a great group of students, and I know that Central is just one example of what some of the schools are doing, and many of our high schools have some really active GSA populations, and that says a lot to me, that it's a welcoming environment. They can come and hang out and be themselves and talk about issues, schedule events and social things, and I think that's really great to see that happening, because it's amazing to me that these students are discovering at such an early age that they can be their authentic self, because I think there's a lot of people that wish that they could have done that. So
yeah, I think a lot of people are, you know, we see the youth these days and their strength when it comes to diversity. And I do a lot like you. I was just talking to Montcalm GSA, and those kids were great. I mean, they had it down pat, and they were so positive about everything. And when you go into those environments and you see this, that didn't exist when I went to high school. I mean, my high school was a nightmare for me. I barely got out of that alive. And, you know, so when we see what's going on with the GSAs, it's absolutely amazing. So we'll be back after the break. This is Between the Margins on CHRW 94.9 FM. We are all in this together, brothers and sisters. We can... And welcome back to Between the Margins, a show about human rights and people's pursuit of happily ever after. And we have some amazing guests here in the studio. I'm Michelle Boyce.
My name's Anne-Marie Fisher.
I'm Rick Ezekiel.
And Leslie Glure Duncan, and we're from the Student Success Center.
Wonderful. And we're talking about Out at Work. And you guys have this amazing program coming, and your kickoff is tonight. And you've got the 45 people already registered. So it's going to be a great event happening. And what time is that?
It's going to be starting at 4:30 p.m.
Wonderful. And where?
In Western Student Services, room 2130, the CHU International Student Center.
Okay, and if you want more information, email...
Yeah, so outintheoffice.uwo.ca is our website. You can also find us on Facebook.
Wonderful. Okay, well, we got to keep pushing that event. And so we're talking about Out in the Office, and we're talking about GSAs and how getting in at a young age and helping those kids to have the tools and resources to break down that oppression in the high schools is so vitally important to then those kids move on to university and colleges, and then they move into the workforce, and that is the way to go with it. I mean, I'm a diversity trainer, so I do a lot of work in around the offices, and I also run a community center whereby we have a lot of marginalized people as clients that we help out. And the thing that I notice as we have turned into this recession and this economic downturn is that the training dollars just aren't there for the big companies. And it's been almost 5 years now since those budgets have existed. And I mean, trainers are just starving to death right now. But that has a huge social impact. And as we get further and further into this economic downturn, we're getting more and more outright bigoted people that are on the news and doing things that, you know, those of us that are open-minded and understanding of people go, what? You dare say that in public? And, you know, you pound it down and you pound it back as far as you can. But as soon as we let up a little bit, it seems to creep back to the front. And one of those said issues was the Trails End event that happened earlier on. And just a little reminder clip about how that happened in the last fall.
You previously stated that you were running a quote-unquote family-friendly business. What exactly do you mean by that?
No, I run a family market. And at that time, that's two Saturdays ago, when this all happened, this vendor, I believe Karen, she had a sore back, so she put some employees in there, and there are three employees, transgender employees, and the booth are 9x9. So I just thought it was kind of unprofessionally done for three people in a 9x9. I have many booths. I've been in at this for quite a while. Never had that many people in one booth, and it was very noticeable to the public. And I've had several complaints about it that day. So that evening, I phoned Karen and asked her if she would look after her booth herself. If not, then she would be asked to leave the market.
Look after her booth. What exactly do you mean by that? She says that she was given a choice to either remove the transgendered employee or just take her business elsewhere.
No, it wasn't an employee. It was employees. There were three people in this booth. That's what brought the attention to the whole thing.
And was that the quote-unquote ultimatum that she was given?
That evening, yes.
And is that still in place, to either remove the transgendered employees or take her business elsewhere?
Yes.
And you say that you received complaints about these workers. What were the nature of those complaints, Mr. Kickard?
It's just that it was an odd thing in the market to see these people in this one booth. And my other problem is I do not have washroom facilities for these people. If they go into the ladies' washroom, I think the ladies would be excited or upset or whatever, and the men the same thing. So I do not have washroom facilities for these people.
Do you feel at all that the request of yourself or your management and actions have been bigoted or discriminatory?
No, I don't believe so.
Why is that? When you are basically saying that a certain group or faction is not welcome, is that not the definition of discrimination?
Well, if you don't have washroom facilities for people like that, is that discriminatory, or is that just we're not set up for people like that?
Well, is that not a problem that is easily corrected, that if indeed they needed to use the facilities, that some sort of arrangement could be made, that that the answer isn't just to completely bar them or ask the business to leave your establishment?
Well, we have, on Saturday, we have probably 15,000 people going through, so the washrooms are always very busy. So to me, that is quite an issue. Yeah.
Do transgender people, do they not have a right to make a living, Mr. Kickard?
Absolutely. Yes.
And do they have a right to make it at Trails and Farmers Market?
Okay. If they follow the requirements, that's not a problem.
And the requirement is, I'm sorry?
The bigger thing is the washroom facilities.
But how can they follow that requirement? Isn't that the onus on you, the owner?
I can't answer that.
Are gay, lesbians, and transgendered people, are they welcome to shop at Trails End?
Yeah, they shop here. We have very many of them shop here.
And how do you get around this bathroom issue, the so-called bathroom issue with customers?
Well, they're probably not here that long. I don't know if they use a washroom then. I'm relating to the gender people, the transgender people. The gay, lesbians, you don't know if they're coming through here or not. They don't have a title on them, so to speak. Well, they're not dressed accordingly. These people are dressed accordingly, and they're here all day. The other shoppers are just here for whatever time they're here, maybe an hour, a half hour, 15 minutes.
You are now facing, as I mentioned, a human rights complaint. There's a petition, I understand, as well, circulating to boycott your establishment. Are you concerned that this at all is going to have a negative impact on your business?
We'll have to deal with that at the time.
But do you have a concern?
Not really.
All right, Mr. Kickard, I appreciate your time. Thank you for joining us this morning.
Okay.
All right, Ed Kickard, the owner of a Trails End Farmers Market, who says it's, I guess, more of a bathroom issue, a facility issue, that they just don't have the facilities equipped to deal with transgendered people.
Okay, and you don't get any more blatant than that. Oh, what were we singing? The gays are coming, doo-dah, doo-dah. I think what it boils down to with Mr. Kickett is that as long as he doesn't actually tell that you're gay or lesbian or trans, then you're okay. But something tells me that if you go in and you hold your boyfriend's hand, you're in trouble at Trails End Flea Market.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I will play that clip until the end of time, because there isn't a more blatant example of discrimination. And I mean, this man is going to lose everything when this case finally goes through the tribunal. And you know, to everybody out there, don't do that.
Well, and then he's saying it's a bathroom issue. That's what he's implying, is it's a bathroom issue because it's his issue. It's not a bathroom issue because... Yeah.
Exactly. I mean, if the women's washroom is closed in the UCC, does that mean we just put security guards and ban all women from the UCC?
Yeah.
I think this also kind of speaks to the issue we were talking about earlier. Michelle, you mentioned kind of testing the waters. He could potentially be someone's employer. And I mean, when you talk about getting a feel for what your employer is kind of going to be like and what it's going to be like to work in that environment, when I came out, I think Leslie was my water. I tested it with her a little bit, and there was lots of positive reinforcement, and that process was pretty easy. But for a lot of people, it's not. And I think we really recognize that, and our message isn't to say, hey, everyone, you know, just be out in the office, and it's going to be okay. Because sometimes you might be working for someone like this guy, and it might not be okay from their perspective, which is really unfortunate, and it doesn't make that okay or right, but hopefully by, you know, doing some things where you can build community and talk about resources to maybe look at switching employers and finding someone who is more supportive.
And knowing the communication strategies and tools. And I think that's something that we've talked about, that, being out may not be where you can be for every part of your life at all times. But if you have some of the strategies for communicating and for survival, like the, okay, well, maybe I do need to find another job. Where do I start? And how do I start to find employers and resources that might be supportive instead of people like Mr. What is his
Kick
name?
It.
Kick It? Okay.
Kick It.
All right.
Yeah. Kick Ed, kick it to the curb. Oh, so here at Western, where is a good place for people to come and find those resources here at Western?
I think there are many supportive places on campus. I was just fortunate enough to get a tour of the support services area this morning, which is a really great space. It's extremely comfortable. It's, you know, an open space where students can find automatic links to resources. And that's something that is only growing at Western, which is great. And also, as Anne Marie mentioned, one of our goals as the Student Success Center is to support all students at Western, and provide links to resources and this sort of sense of community. And I know there are also a lot of new things happening in Western residence life, like specialized floor communities for people who are part of, the LGBT community, and it's also a very supportive environment.
Wonderful. So one of your panelists, Kathleen Holland, is the last person we've got, and let's hear what Kathleen has to say.
My name is Kathleen Holland. I'm the coordinator for AWOL, Adventurous Women of London, for almost all of its 20 years of existence. And professionally, I work as a financial consultant with Investors Group.
You're out in the office?
I'm out in the office, yes. With this being my second career, I am absolutely out at work. However, that was not the way I started off when I began my work with Investors Group 13 years ago. I transitioned into self-employment, and at that time, I figured, that's not how I want to be known, is let's hire the lesbian. Let's hire this person who has a good prospect of making a great career as a financial consultant. So I went back in the closet, not that I stopped doing the community things that I had previously done, but it's not something that I shook hands with prospective clients and colleagues by saying, hi, I'm Kathleen Holland, the lesbian. So it was something that for about a year, as I say, it was about a matter of flying under the radar. But that still came to light anyway about a year into it, and that's just because of my involvement in the community, and some of it is more public than perhaps other involvement. So they came to know that, and that was well received, so that worked out fine for me.
Wonderful. So what were some of the challenges coming out at work?
Well, in the current career, so I've been doing this for 13 years, I heard lots of rhetoric from others that were from the gay and lesbian bisexual community, and what I had learned from them is that it was not a very homophobic environment. So that I don't want to test the waters. That's not how I want to start off my self-employment career. So I guess the way that it worked out for me is because of my involvement in AWOL, Adventurous Women of London, I had posted an ad in the Pride Guide back then, which I guess was the summer of 1999. A management team was out for lunch, and the magazine was available on Richmond Row in the restaurant they sat in. So they happened to flip through it while they were waiting for their lunch to be served, saw my name as the coordinator for AWOL. That was how they came to know the information. And from there, it, you know, more or less was made, I was made aware that the management team knew of this. And so it made sense that the next year, I would actually advertise in the Pride Guide and do it with, you know, an out ad as opposed to still trying to sort of fly under the radar. So for me, it was all a matter of I wanted to test the way things would feel for me in a new environment, in a new work setting, as my with my own credentials, as opposed to by wearing any sort of a label that would seemingly look like that was going to set me apart and be different. I wanted to be known as being very good at what I do professionally.
Wonderful. And what are some of the great things about being out?
Some of the great things about being out is when I bring a partner to the Christmas party. We have our annual holiday party, and I have a wonderful woman in my life, and she's living with me, which is a very different thing for me because this is, you know, the ultimate of seriousness. And when I brought her to the holiday event this past December, she was very, very well received, as people see her simply as an extension of me. So that's a great thing about being out, is knowing that you can bring your partner to an event, and when you've already established relationships with your friends, and as a professional, they see this as another extension of your personal life, not as in this is what you represent. You represent lesbianism, so you must have a partner. And nobody feels that there's anything being flaunted. They feel like, isn't that wonderful that Kathleen is happy personally and professionally?
It's the honesty factor.
It's the honesty factor. That's right. I don't feel like there's some sort of, you know, edited secret or dirty little secret that I have to keep from my colleagues. It allows you to be able to exchange. When you're talking about what you did for the weekend, the wonderful thing is, I mean, you obviously do it in a professional setting where it sounds like you are being respectful of everybody. You're sharing, we went away to whatever it is you may have done for the weekend, as opposed to I went away. It doesn't need to appear as though you're living a solitary existence because you're keeping from the public eye the most important connection you probably have, which is that with your partner.
And that takes a lot of energy.
It does if you're doing all your editing all the time. That's a huge energy consumer. Sometimes we have to go through that process to get to the other side. But I really find, to be honest, Michelle, the approach that has worked very, very well for me is to not have an in-your-face approach. I have been out for over 20 years, probably 25 years, if I actually, you know, sat down and calculated that. So at no point did I have the impression that being out and in-your-face was a way that I wanted to take strides ahead. My former career with the school board is one where, as much as I was involved in the executive of the employee group that I was a part of, so I was always in a position of receiving information prior to my membership to be able to distribute the information. And so the thing is, the board never saw me as one that was, I guess, a threat to what they wanted to create. If anything, I might have helped them to better understand why having same-sex spousal benefits at that tender time back in the 1990s was really important. And they have a they had a greater inclination, I think, to listen to somebody who is low-key about setting out the reasons why this was beneficial. And so there's a lot of involvement I had back then in terms of, you know, activism and occasional protests, but not in a way that left people thinking that I was, I don't know, like a loose cannon. That's never the approach that I ever wanted to take, and that has worked extremely effectively. In fact, the school board turned around and used me as a way of in-servicing their administrators, meaning their principals, superintendents, and people of that nature. And same with the office that I'm in now. It's not that they use me as a resource to in-service other people on sensitivity issues related to the LGBT community. Instead, what they do is they are open and receptive to the things that I want to do. Like, for instance, I had an LGBT job fair career day back in 2009. And the office was closed. Everybody was made aware that that was the day that was for Kathleen. The office was filled to capacity. We had 60 people who came to the event. Everybody who was my colleague knew what was going on, and they were happy about the great attendance. So there's lots and lots of support that my office has lent me for things that I wish to do for my community. So I think having that low-key approach is a really good way of making strides.
What advice can you give people that, you know, they're not out, and how do they go about that?
If a person were to consider coming out in their work environment, I think it's really important that they first establish credibility as a person, as an employee, as a team player. Once that credibility has been laid out for them, people will like them for their contribution and for their likability factor. The next step could be that they come out, but doing so in small stages as opposed to leaving people feeling like this is a force to be reckoned with. You know what I mean? There's a nice, easy approach, which is where you're sitting at the lunch table, people are talking about their weekends away or their plans with their partner or their spouse, and that would be an absolutely appropriate time to be able to say what you are doing with your partner or your spouse, because it is just a fact of life that people have other people in their life that they are sharing these wonderful experiences with. I think it's all about the person's approach. Low-key is a really good way, and come out later after you've already established a good rapport with your colleagues.
Wonderful. And what about the people that don't get the opportunity to set it up before they get outed by someone else?
It's really unfortunate when that power is taken from them and somebody has outed them prior to their consent. If that's the case, there isn't anything that we're doing wrong. So don't walk with your head, hanging. It's a matter of giving people that are around you, your colleagues, your bosses, supervisors, giving them the impression that you are comfortable in your own skin. There's a direct effect to how people respond to you by how you come across. If you come across as being comfortable in your own skin, people will feel that from you. And, of course, it's a natural response for them to feel the same way about you.
So is there any other advice that you'd like to give to people?
What I would suggest is for people who are embarking on a new career, first of all, build up your credibility as being good at whatever that role requires of you. Become a very good team player. Anything that transpires after that, where you are making people aware of personal effects of your life, such as a partner, a spouse, they will be much more open to that because it's already an extension of a person they like.
And that's Kathleen Holland. And, you know, her basic advice there is, get established and then come out if that's possible. And, you know, and we're talking about that flying under the radar and, you know, not being in face and that kind of thing. And, you know, it's definitely, if you're going to be that out and that much of a big mouth like me, then there's consequences to that. And one of those consequences is that corporations, you know, they don't particularly like hiring people that are that in people's face. So you know, if you're going into those career paths, then being a verbal advocate may not be your best choice. Final thoughts?
We just hope that this is going to be a really good platform for people to feel comfortable in who they are, and really just dialogue, and to really also bring in the allies and realize that the allies have a really strong role in reducing workplace discrimination or anything. So we hope this is going to be a very successful event. We're very excited. There's been a lot of work going into this, and we're very excited to see how it all turns out.
Yeah, and I think this all kind of speaks to the issue, too, when you're talking about being out in the office. It's still a thing. Coming out is still a big thing. And people assume when you're not out that you're straight automatically. And a lot of this comes down to the pressure to be your authentic self. It's like you have to actively try to do something. And that is still the case. And we hope by doing some of these events and building some community, we can make that process a little bit easier for people, or at least link them to resources that might do that. So we hope to get lots of people out and lots of people from multiple different communities out to these several different events.
Yeah, and I just want to wrap up by saying that I think that it's initiatives like this that can help just continue to break down the barriers that are still in existence and have existed. And I think that by building community and breaking down barriers, it's helping all populations and not just the LGBT population.
Happily ever after.
Yeah.
Happily ever after. And this has been Between the Margins on CHRW 94.9 FM. My name's Michelle Boyce, and thank you so much to you three for coming out and talking to me. Thank you so much to our guests on the phone, Kathleen. Kathleen and Martin and all of the others that have added to this show. There's many, many resources in this city. When you're talking about that, the Alphabet Community Center, you can reach at acclondon.com, and that's a great resource to come out. And if you're coming out at work, we have counselors and people that can help you with this process. Here at the Western, we've had a few different places. There's lots of resources. Pride Western is a definite resource to talk to here at Western, and there's also an LGBT employment group, and you can find them on Facebook and the web and through the UCC services and all of those information bulletins. But there's lots of stuff out there, folks, lots of resources, and hopefully one day coming out won't have to happen, and we won't have to have these events and talk about how to come out, because everybody will just not assume that your partner is an opposite sex partner and that your gender is not fluent. And all of these issues will one day be just another happily ever after. So if you want to listen to this show and others, they're podcasted at www.betweenthemargins.ca, all one word. Special thanks to DJ and Kim in the booth who are there helping us out and putting up with my mislabeling of clips and all of that jazz. So, you know, they're there. I frustrate the bejeezies out of them some days, and I think this is one of them. But thanks, girls, for all your hard work behind us there. And thank you to all of our listeners. The show would not be what it is without you. And hope you have your happily ever after, whatever that means to you.